This episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. With 2014 right around the corner, it's time to start planning for those 2014 vacations. And be it a Disney destination or any destination, you need to call on the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel to help you plan your vacations and start the new year off right. So visit them at meitravel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner on our webpage, mickeymilespodcast.com.
Well, hi, this is Jeff Galloway. You are listening to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 133 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, we are approximately a week and a half away from you know what.
Is something planned?
Yeah, New Year's, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yes, we are. And you know what, Mike? I am ready. I have the best coach ever. Lots of support, and lots of support from family and friends, too. So I'm very, very excited. And I have a shout-out today. And the shout-out is to, let's see, it's going to be with Jessica McNett. And she and her husband were out running today about 20 miles, and she's getting ready to run a marathon weekend. So, yay, Jessica.
Awesome. Awesome. We are very happy that we are about a week and a half away from Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, and we could not think of anyone better to bring on than our special guest. He is the founder of the Galloway Marathon Training Program. He is the official consultant for Run Disney regarding training. He's written many books, many of which I have, and he's been on our show before, and we are so pleased to have Jeff Galloway on our show. Jeff, welcome once again.
It is great to be here, Mike and Michelle.
We are so excited. We're looking forward to seeing you in the next week or so. And we have all kinds of things that we would like to talk about. And Michelle, would you like to say something?
Oh, I just wanted to publicly say thank you to Jeff, because I think that I'm very much a direction follower, and he's been very clear on his directions of what I need to do. And I feel very supported, Jeff, and I feel very ready for the Dopey with your help. So, and sometime in the near future, I think I had lunch with some friends yesterday. They were asking all about e-coaching. We'd love to have you on just to talk about that. But I wanted to thank you.
Well, there are a number of ways you can prepare, and what I offer and have enjoyed working with you concerning are the many options that we have in practically everything we do with running. Unfortunately, a lot of the options make perfect sense, and yet some of them cause all types of problems. So my role is to solve those problems and move in the most productive path. So I've really enjoyed working with you and look forward to continuing to help when I can.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited that you're going to help us today, because we're going to talk about what, Mike?
We're going to go through the whole week. We're going to take it day by day. We're going to talk about what each day brings and talk to Jeff and ask what his perspective is on certain areas. And we'd like to start off with the expo. And Jeff, right off the bat, I'm curious, what do you enjoy most about the expo during Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend?
It is a wonderful source of energy for almost every single person that you see there. They'll walk into the room, you'll see their face light up, their eyes light up, their energy go up several notches. Not only are there a whole lot of interesting products there, but there's just a lot of interaction between the runners. My role and what I like best personally is the ability to talk with thousands of runners over the space of the weekend about things they've had trouble with or questions that they have. And in almost every case, I'm able to provide some direction that can reduce the potential problems that people have. And to see their face release that stress when the solutions are simple, which they almost always are, is just a great joy for me.
Yeah, I noticed, Jeff, that you really take time and really listen and talk to everybody who comes up. And you'll be at the Run Disney booth, right?
I will. Come by. I'd love to see each and every one of you. And we'll just share our endorphins together.
So people can we'll ask people to tell you they heard you on the Mickey Miles podcast too.
Yeah.
We were curious: are there you know, I don't want to ask you to tell us all the range of questions that you get, but maybe are there top three or two questions that you say, oh yeah, I get this question all the time? Is it mostly about the Galloway method, or is it about other things?
Most of the questions have some relationship with how much running and how much walking to take, and there's a lot of confusion out there. A lot of the folks will start out by saying, you know, thank you for the method, and then they'll will have had a problem somewhere along the way, and usually that's the result of not using the right frequency of walk break or not having enough walking length, the length of the walk. And then the other option there is to shorten the amount of running. So once you get those things put together, people find that running's easier. And the whole process of run, walk, run is an evolution. It's not set in stone. As I continue to hear back from thousands of people a week, I develop slight changes in the way that it's facilitated, and as a result, it gets better every year.
That's great. So, and I'm sure it's difficult for you to do a one-size-fits-all because everybody's different, and maybe their intervals are going to change at different points in their training.
Yes. The most common mistake is that somebody will come in using an amount of running and walking that worked for a friend of theirs, but is way too much running for that individual. And even though it's helped them initially, when they reach the really long distance events, not taking the walk breaks frequently enough causes extra fatigue, and it doesn't have to happen. The point of run, walk, run, as well as most of the elements of my Galloway program, are that there are solutions for practically every problem. And as you apply these tools, you don't have to hurt. The other major area of concern, of course, is the balloon lady and making sure that you stay ahead of the balloon lady. And there are all types of strategies that people use. The worst one is to try to get a lead on the balloon lady by going out fast. And unfortunately, those are the ones that usually get caught and have to board the bus.
Right. So you have to keep some energy in the tank for the end. So I wanted to mention the times for the expo, and then I had a few other questions about the expo. We're going to start a whole extra day early this year. So it's going to start at 10 a.m. To 8 p.m. on Wednesday, January 8th, then 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, January 9th, 9 a.m., 7 p.m. Friday, January 10th, and then 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 11th. And on that first day, I would expect that there are going to be a lot of dopey runners there. And one of the things that Mike and I really like that we don't think people take advantage of enough are the seminars that Run Disney puts on throughout the day. So we were noticing that there are a lot of dopey discussions on that day. And I'm sure, Jeff, that you'd recommend that people go to those. The discussions are there's a dopey strategy panel. There's a one called Don't Make Dopey Mistakes. There's a dopey challenge information for runners and spectators with another panel. It sounds like Run Disney is really making sure that people are doing that safely.
Yes, it's the responsible thing to do. The whole goofy and dopey phenomena has really grown from the base upwards. Disney did not impose this and then create an audience. People wanted to have multiple events, and you not only see that happening in the Disney events, but in many, many other events around the U.S. What the concern is that if you do too much too soon, you either won't finish on the last day, the marathon, or you could get injured. And, you know, the injuries that I hear about are most commonly not relating to the multiple events. And I've tried to figure out why that is. And my conclusion is that people get more tired and they're actually more concerned about the possible adversities of multiple events. So they don't tend to go out as fast in the events. And as a result, they hold themselves back and they tend to be stronger at the end. I've actually had people who have done the goofy before, following my advice of mostly walking the half on Saturday, and they've set PRs in the marathon the second day.
Oh my goodness. Well, we'll definitely be attending those, and some of the dopey ones are at 4 and 5 o'clock, but you have every day you have something scheduled, and your talk is called Stay Strong to the Finish. That's going to be on Wednesday at 6 p.m., Thursday at 6 p.m., Friday at 10 a.m., and Saturday at 1 p.m. So you're very busy. Can you tell us a little bit about what you'll be talking about for Stay Strong to the Finish?
Yes, there will be a number of areas that people can address that will allow them to avoid hitting the wall, slowing down, being caught by the balloon lady, or and not having the aches and pains afterwards. In other words, recovering fast. And so I'm mainly going to talk about pacing, and that relates to the weather situation. Obviously, we can't talk now about what we're going to do weather-wise. It's really relating to getting very close to the event and seeing what it looks like it really is going to be. The reality in Orlando is that it can be just about anything. It can be over 80 degrees or it can be below 30 degrees. I've run in both sets of conditions several times over the 20 years that the marathon's been held. So I'll talk about everything you need to know to stay in the race and have strength all the way to the finish. And we'll talk about pacing and how to overcome any adversities that could come up in the way of clothing issues or feet. And then I'll spend a good bit of time on mental training, which is my favorite topic these days, because the type of mental training that you set up for whatever the problem is will affect the way you feel, the way you will be able to cope with problems both psychologically and physiologically, and you can turn on brain circuits for a better attitude and a sense of empowerment that will make the experience more fulfilling. So they're actually mental training techniques that you can set in motion even the day before a long event or series of events that will significantly improve the experience you have on race day.
Jeff, I was curious regarding your talk on Friday and Saturday. Are they going to be the same, or are you adjusting them so that you would be addressing issues or concerns for dopey runners who have just finished the 5K and the 10K, I should say, and the half? Have you tweaked those two, or is it basically the same information?
Well, Mike, you've been to enough of my talks, and you know that there is not a single talk that is even remotely the same.
That's right. But with dopey, I would guess there's even more tweaking.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And basically, I will start all of my talks with several topics and several lessons that I think are most important for the upcoming day's event. And then people start asking questions, and other issues will come up that are of great concern to the folks in the audience. It's a very interactive session. I do not lecture to people. I get up there, give information, get feedback and questions, and then evolve my talks accordingly. But, Mike, you're so right. The real topic, as identified by hundreds of emails that I've had this month and last month, on the goofy and the dopey syndrome, folks who often were on the couch 3 to 5 years ago, and now they're doing one of these multiple events. A lot of them are doing the dopey, and they're a little bit apprehensive and nervous. And even those who aren't doing these events, the goofy or the dopey, are really curious about it. So there will be a lot of questions about those two events, and then we'll also have a lot of folks who are thinking about doing it next year and who want to find out about it and whether it's doable for them. And finally, the crux of the matter, whether it be goofy or dopey, is really how you pace the half marathon on Saturday. That really is the key to the whole multi-event strategy. So the easier you go on Saturday in the half marathon, the stronger you're going to tend to be on Sunday during the marathon.
Right, right, right. And this, and again, this is a good time, Jeff, to again mention how a lot of this is part of that mental training. And I want to take this time to tell everyone that you do have a book out there called Mental Training for Runners, How to Stay Motivated, and they can find it on your site. And it's an ebook, and it's something that I think every runner or every person who is getting into distance running should digest, because it speaks to so many areas that can help you focus and give you a positive outlook on where you're going. So I just wanted to mention that. Michelle, did you want to talk about the 5K?
Sure. So let's talk about let's switch over to the 5K. And I just want to also say one more thing about the expo. If people want to get Galloway trainers, they can get them from your booth too, right?
Yes. And
okay. Gym bosses.
And, yeah, the timers. Absolutely. We will have those there, and we'll have free batteries.
Woohoo!
We'll also help to set them up if you want us to set them up. It's not that hard to set up the timer to beep or vibrate or both, but we're there to help. My wife Barbara will be there to help also.
She's super nice. Great. Thank you. Okay, so now we're heading over to the 5K, and that's going to be on Thursday, January 9th. And that's going to be at Epcot. It's a fun one. Jeff, are you doing that one?
You better believe it. I'm going to be a dopey person this year.
Oh, you are? Oh, fantastic. Yes. Is Barbara as well?
She is not. You know, she
has a stress fracture, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. It actually was a real fracture of the fifth metatarsal. And the good news is she's back running regularly. She even did the Space Coast Marathon earlier this month. But she's not ready to do the four events in 4 days.
Well, so she's just doing the marathon? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That is funny, but that is correct.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I love the 5Ks for a lot of different reasons, and I was wondering what your opinion was about Disney 5Ks.
The reality of the Disney difference in 5K and 10K, the shorter events, is that they do have the characters there, and you do run through segments of the venues. And so you really get this stimulation of being able to see the venues. A lot of people have commented that they enjoy as much running behind the scenes to see how things are set up and how things operate as they do running out into the venues. They like both, but seeing what goes on behind the scenes is something that you also get to see when doing the Disney events. The ones that stay right in the Epcot area, the 5K and the 10K, definitely are going to interweave right all through the various complex there.
So that starts at 6:15. And Jeff, do you get up on stage? I can't remember. Do you say anything at the beginning of the...
Usually I do. They have those scripted out, and they'll have some surprises in terms of some of the special characters there. So it all depends on what they have scripted, and I have been told that I will be on there at least for a short period. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, good. We'll look for you. So that's 6:15, and then the next day, Mike, is the 10K.
Before we go to the 10K, I just want to ask Jeff one more thing. Jeff, with everybody, with many people doing the Dopey, what advice are you giving those who you are coaching as how they should approach the 5K?
I look at the 5K as just doing a run that you would do before a weekend event anyway. It's Thursday, so there's no liability in running a 5K on Thursday. Just run it at what you would normally run as an easy pace for a Thursday run before a weekend event.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Now on to the 10K. It's been a while since there has been a 10K at the Walt Disney World Resort. I think the last 10K that I ran was one called Race for the Taste. I don't know, Jeff, had you ever run that particular race?
I didn't do that one. I have heard about it, though.
It was the it's now called the Wine and Dine Half Marathon, but a 10K is an interesting bridge between a 5K and a half, and I think that is good because a lot of people who are looking to go from a 5K to a half marathon need something like that bridge, and I think that's one of the reasons why that race and that distance was inserted into this weekend. Now, you are obviously going to run that race, Jeff. How are you going to approach that race?
The same principle applies in terms of running 4 days in a row as you would approach any 4 day in a row series of runs. And that is, you don't want to spend your resources early. A 5K on Thursday, usually at an easy pace, there's not going to be any liability for most runners because most of the runners that I talk with at the Disney events run about a 5K on their easy runs during the week. So that's just a normal run. Now, those who are used to running no more than about a 5K, and I would guess that that's somewhere around 40 to 50% of those that will be running this weekend, you do have to approach the 10K as a more serious fatigue inducer. So you want to go out nice and slow, and my advice is to continue slow and to put more walk breaks in the 10K than you would in the 5K. That's going to allow you to recover very fast and be ready for the last two events in the series.
So that race starts at 5:30 in the morning, Jeff. And I guess as somebody who works with Run Disney that you probably don't have to get there as soon as the rest of us do. But for these races, there is a lag time between the time you get off the bus and the time you actually get to the start line. And I was wondering if you could give a few little tips of what to do if you have a long wait before your race in terms of, you know, just getting ready. Do you try to stay on your feet, stay off your feet, bring something to sit on, walk around? What do you think people should do before?
There are various strategies, and one of the beauties of these events this weekend is that they start and finish in roughly the same area, and you can check your gear and have things there. One of the great opportunities, because of the wide open spaces that are available in the staging area, is that some people will actually bring an inflatable pool raft. They'll come out and blow up a little pool raft or something soft to sit down on. And then they'll just deflate it, package it up, put it in their check gear, and go on from there. Others will buy a newspaper and sit on the newspaper and then read portions of it. And yeah, you see all types of things going on. But there is that time when there will be music on the stage. And what most people do is they'll walk out to a certain point and then either find a place to sit down, which is what I suggest, or they'll just stand around and move their legs a little bit. There are places to sit down if you will look at the periphery of the big staging area that's out there and just find a place where nobody is currently located. So anyway, if you are pretty much forced to be standing up, it is best to move the legs in some fashion. Standing is actually not the best for circulation of blood flow in the legs, and it can, particularly in folks that are over a certain age, mean that the legs will stiffen up a bit, meaning that the first 2 or 3 miles are not that fluid. The muscles don't tend to feel that fluid. Of course, in a 5K, the race is over at that point.
Yeah, I noticed that same thing. So I also recommend that you figure out quickly where the porta potties are and make sure that if you need to use them, as I do about 4 times before every race because I get the jitters, make sure that you go and stand in line. You can keep moving that way too. Okay.
Let me address that a little bit, Michelle. And some of that is nervousness, and it's just a body reaction that will happen. However, the amount of fluid that you drink from the time you wake up in the morning will determine how many times you will have to go. So my recommendation is, particularly on the shorter events, don't drink very much fluid. So as soon as you wake up, if you can drink about 6 ounces of water, or if you're like me and like to have a cup of coffee, go ahead and have that as soon as you can, and that way you've got a really good chance of making your potty stop early enough so that the lines won't be so long.
I'm glad I mentioned it then. That's good. That's good.
Well, when we talk about that 10K, Jeff, I think we now tend to start focusing on recovery steps to take as we move into the half marathon and the marathon portion of the weekend. So when a person who's doing the dopey is finished with the 10K, what are you suggesting that person do is in terms of recovery and getting prepared for the half marathon the following day?
And what they shouldn't do.
And what they shouldn't do. That's a good one, Michelle. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, there's a certain exuberance that you are going to feel when you're in any race, but particularly a Disney event. And as the race starts to get towards the finish, you're going to have a natural tendency to pick up the pace and so forth. And in a 5K on Thursday, that's often not much of a problem for people. I never recommend sprinting, but if you're going to run a little bit faster at the end, maybe pass a couple of people for the ego, go ahead, I guess. But on Friday, on the 10K, if you run too hard during the last 2 miles, you're going to feel it the next day and even more so on Sunday. So it's really better to restrain your enthusiasm, to put in more frequent walk breaks, a lot more frequent than you normally would do in a 10K. Most of the folks that I have worked with who run regular 10Ks don't take the walk breaks as frequently as in a half or full marathon. They might take one every mile or every half mile. And my recommendation for the 10K as part of the dopey series is that you go ahead and approach it like it's a half marathon. So use the same run-walk-run ratio that you'd use as if you were running a half marathon. And if you're very conservative enough with that, and you can see my recommendations based on pace per mile on the Run Disney site and on jeffgalloway.com. And if you'll follow those guidelines, there's very little likelihood that you're going to be spent the next day and, of course, the day after that. And finally, the recovery is best done when you do this. First of all, you want to keep walking. Don't stand around. Standing really doesn't allow the blood flow to go through as fast and help you recover. Secondly, have a reloading snack of about 150 to 200 calories. And most of the calories should be in simple carbohydrates. That's one of the few times that I'm going to recommend the intake of simple carbohydrates. If you have 20% of the calories in protein, that's fine. But within 30 minutes of finishing is the key element there, because that will reload your muscle glycogen that you're going to need the next day and the day afterward. So again, 150 to 200 calories, mostly simple carbohydrate. And then within 2 hours of finishing, you want to try to soak your legs in a cool tub of water. A lot of folks actually put ice in it, and I consider that, in two words, cruel and unusual. But the reality is, based on research, that the water temperature just needs to be 20 degree differential from body temperature. So we're talking 78 degrees or cooler. And you want to get in there for hopefully about 15 minutes of just sitting in the 78 or so degree water temperature. That helps to soak out extra heat build up in the muscles and really set them up for a much quicker recovery.
Cool. So we're doing that after the 10K and the half, then, I'm guessing.
That is correct. And
and the full, too.
Absolutely. All three of them. And, of course, the crucial recovery periods would be after the 10K and after the half marathon.
That concludes part one of our visit with Jeff Galloway. Please join us for part two, where we continue to talk about recovery, and we also focus on the half marathon and full marathon. So, for Jeff Galloway and for Michelle Scrivener-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we will see you on the road. This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And be it spring, summer, fall, or any time of the year, it's a great time to take a vacation, and no one knows how to do it better than the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. So, as we jump into 2014, why not make your New Year's resolution to give the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel a try at helping you plan those very important 2014 vacations. Visit them at mei-travel.com, mousefantravel.com, or click on their banner at mickeymilespodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.